If you're among the millions struggling with peripheral neuropathy, I ask you to listen up. Hi, this is Marty Terrell from Sports Overnight America here on Sports Byline Broadcast. As you heard me say, peripheral neuropathy, I've struggled with it. It's annoying. And if untreated, it can really cause some health problems. Now, the bottom line is I reached out to Innovative Wellness, Christy and Andrew Steiger in particular, at innovativewellness.center of Clive, Iowa. They're now gaining clients from all over the Midwest because shockwave therapy, which they prescribed for me, and I did it in a consistent fashion, I got appreciable, verifiable results. Life is better. Innovativewellness.center. Peripheral neuropathy is very annoying and can be very, very serious if left untreated. Check it out. Innovativewellness.center. Christy Steiger, Andrew Steiger, innovativewellness.center.
Ladies and gentlemen, coming to you from the Sports Byline Studios in the City by the Bay, San Francisco, California. Check it. This is Rink Talk Live Worldwide. Often imitated, but hardly duplicated. Get this, come September 2024. Next month, I've been knocking out bums now for 40 years. Who am I? My name is Pedro Fernandez. I am your ever so modest host. When I say modest, think caps. I'm a four-time Golden Glove champion, and I'm an award-winning boxing writer, so I bring a unique combination to the dance. But guess what? I'm not buying the pay-per-views and the live tickets. Are you? Tell me about it. I open up the toll-free 1-800-878-PLAY. That's 1-800-878-7529. Of course, this is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking at the world of boxing. Of course, tonight, we've got Sergey Bojacek defending the WBC 154-pound title against the perfect Virgil Ortiz. 21 and zip, 21 knockouts. Of course, Ortiz having some health issues at 147, couldn't make the weight. Now back at 154. He made the weight last night without any problems. But the bottom line is Virgil Ortiz is a star. But is he on the verge of superstardom, or is he going to be an average guy? We'll find out tonight when he takes on Sergey Bojacek. I think that's on the zone. There's a card on ESPN as well. Of course, we'll bring in boxing's PhD, Socrates Palmer. We'll hear from the former world middleweight champion and the promoter, of course, of a lot of stars. We'll talk about Bernard Hopkins. Hopkins, of course, with Golden Boy Promotions. We'll talk about last week's Terrence Crawford fight. Of course, his fight with Magomedov. I don't know. I thought it was a one-sided fight for Crawford. Other people thought it was close and that Crawford needed the last couple of rounds to win and maybe the last round to avoid a draw. Say, what? Anyway, bottom line is, I guess it was, we all saw different things. That's the best way I can put it. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live. Well, you know, that happens. I mean, think about that. They have judges on three sides of the ring, right? And sometimes you get three different opinions. And I think you get the same thing. I mean, me and Tommy D and I were watching the fight. We thought Crawford won like the first four rounds, and it was like downhill from Israel Magomedov. It was downhill for Israel Magomedov from that point forward. But other people thought it was a lot closer. In fact, some people thought that Magomedov might have won. Straight up, Bernard Hopkins, I think he thinks it was a close fight as well. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Once again, the toll-free, 1-800-878-PLAY. That's 1-800-878-7529. You're tuned to Ring Talk Live on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, SiriusXM, Satellite Radio, the American Forces Network. I keep going and going, but the bottom line is we'll be back after the break. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
Attention men, here's a great way to have more fun in bed and save money. If you want to take something like Viagra, they can give you a way to pay as little as $2 a pill. Yes, $2 a pill. Compare that to prices as high as $60 per tablet. These pills work for men to improve their performance and confidence. You'll love them. And now for the price of two or three pills, you can get 50 or more for around $100. You'll save hundreds of dollars off retail prices. That's enough to buy your date a nice dinner. Don't pay expensive prices for Viagra. Call now. Order 50 or more of our blue pills and pay as little as $2 a pill and save hundreds of dollars. Call anytime for confidential shipping.
Call Steel Man Pills now. 800-965-1295. 800-965-1295. 800-965-1295. That's 800-965-1295.
Keep listening for a free virus protection offer. protect your computer from crashing and online scams. According to national research, one-third of all computers are infected with some sort of computer malware. And one-third of you have been a victim of online fraud. Protect yourself now with My Computer Works. We're an 18-year-old U.S.-based company with a 4.8 Google rating. We've helped your neighbors protect their computers for almost 20 years. And now you too can be protected for less than $1 a day. Get your total PC home support right now. Call our U.S.-based specialist right now and learn about our free offer. And remember, if we can't help you, our services cost you nothing. So call right now.
800-352-7618. 800-352-7618. 800-352-7618. That's 800-352-7618.
Okay, we are running a car drive right now to help veterans all across America. So if you have an old car, truck, or van, even a motorcycle or an RV sitting around, you can right now give it away and help the vets. They really need your help. And your car will help support the vets and their families. And guess what? You even get a tax donation. Plus, we'll even come and pick up your car for free. And all you've got to do is pick up your phone right now and make a free call. Now is the perfect time. Time to do something good for the vets. Give back to the vets right now for all they've done for this country. And your old car can really help them. So call the Veterans Car Donation Program right now for free pickup of your vehicle. Help the vets and help your taxes at the same time. Call right now.
800-215-6812. 800-215-6812. 800-215-6812. That's 800-215-6812.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
And I just want to be respected for my era, to be mentioned in the name of Ray Robinson and Marvin Hagler and Ray Leonard, and to be mentioned in the top four and the top five. Wherever you put me at, wherever history put me at, I am grateful and humble to be there.
B-Hop. Bernard Hopkins, we'll hear from him a little bit later. Of course, a co-promoter with Oscar De La Hoya and Golden Boy Promotions. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking at the world of boxing and MMA. Of course, last week, the Sheik did his thing. I'm talking about the Turkish guy. I mean, the Saudi Arabian Turk. Bottom line is, you know what I'm talking about. The guy with all the money. Got Mr. Moneybags. He came, brought his act, of course, to L.A. Good card, no doubt about that. Everybody was impressed. Of course, there were some fights that were a bit of a surprise as far as the results were concerned. Jared Anderson getting lit up, that was a bit of a surprise to some people, but not if you knew who Jared Anderson was. Of course, he is the current version of Michael Grant. Who was Michael Grant? Michael Grant was a heavyweight that couldn't miss about 25 years ago until he ran into a guy that could fight a little bit, and that's basically what happened to Jared Anderson. Of course, Jared Anderson, the only heavyweight I know, a young guy, like 25 years old, and he needs a support dog. Now, I'm all down with support dogs. In fact, I probably need a support dog, too. But if you need a support dog to be a heavyweight contender in the box, he probably don't belong in the heavyweight boxing game. That's my opinion. Anyway, let's get to the Ring Talk phone lines and bring in, of course, the boxing's PhD, Socrates Palmer. Sock, let's talk about last week's card. Terrence Crawford, give him a grade.
Give him a grade. I'm going to go with a B. I thought he was in a tightly contested contest, and I thought that his experience pulled it out for him. It was probably a lot better fight than what people expected. You got to give credit to Madrimov.
No, you don't. All that guy did, he moved his hands a lot. He wasn't punching. He reminded me of a frenetic guy that was like nervous, like he just did. He wasn't throwing punches. I didn't think that's the way me and Tommy D were looking at it. Were we looking at something that wasn't happening, or were we transfixed on the notion that Crawford was going to be superior and win, and we couldn't see it any other way? I mean, what's going on?
I think it's a little bit of both, because look, between the two, who did you expect to shine? Obviously, it was Crawford, right? Mm-hmm. Crawford was the name. You know, it was supposed to be a glimpse of the possible dream match between him and Canelo Alvarez. I think everyone that left that arena last night said, you know what? I think this is the ceiling for Crawford in terms of weight. I give credit to Madrimov that he hit Crawford cleaner than Errol Spence did, or anyone has hit him in a long time. if he would have let his hands go a little more, a little less fainting, maybe some body work, maybe you can say it's a draw, or maybe he got robbed. Terrence Crawford looked rusty. I think I don't want to necessarily say he got old, but fighting once a year eventually catches up to you. I thought there was some ring rust. I thought Madrimov had a game plan. He stuck to it. It was a little bit of a chess match. Is it a classic fight? No. Is it something that I'm going to watch more than once? Probably not. But I thought it was competitive. It was interesting. And those last two rounds, those championship rounds, I thought there was some drama on the table because, you know, I thought that it was pretty much anyone's decision.
Interesting. Of course, Socrates Palmer, Boxing's PhD, is here with us. Let's talk about the surprise of the night. Martin Bacoli. All of a sudden, I'm like the president of the Martin Bacoli fan club. How come?
Well, Jared Anderson is a Gen Zer, right? And I don't think he did any of his contemporaries any favors. They are known to be soft. And I think Jared Anderson showed that. You know, when the going got tough, he didn't bring it.
Wait. The going got tough, he wasn't in the fight after the referee's instruction. Do you see the mental blank look on his face? I mean, I've never seen a guy so passive in getting an ass whooping in my life.
Yeah, he looked way too comfortable catching his first loss.
Here's what's up. Daniel slipped him some weed before the fight. He had to be stoned. Come on, man. He was just too chilled. You're in a heavyweight title fight on television. There should be some drama. There should be some angst in your blood. Your juices should be flowing. None of that was happening with him. He was looking for a support dog.
Look, yeah, and then at the end, he's kind of downplaying it that he's just happy to go home to his daughter. You know what? Boxing is a jealous woman. I'm going to say it just like that. If you have other interests outside of boxing, if it's not your passion, you're going to pay for it. And Jared Anderson has said in the past that he boxes because he's good at it, but not because he likes it. You know, he's talked about retirement. I'm like, bro, you barely scratched the surface of your career, and you're thinking about those type of things. You haven't made huge money. This is probably the biggest payday he's made on the biggest stage. And I would be shocked if Top Rank puts him in soft.
I liken boxing to a crack whore. I mean, you know she's bad. No. You know she's bad for you. I mean, you know she's bad for you, and yet you go back to see her and you bring her some crack. I mean, that's the best way I could describe it. That's the relationship people have with boxing. It just is. Boxing is a crack hoe. Listen, I had a girl back in a long, long time ago. And this guy told me, some old man told me in the gym, that if I had a girlfriend, I wasn't going to be able to make it to the Olympic team, blah, 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 blah. And, of course, I did make it to the Western Olympic Trials, finished 13th in the country. But the bottom line was I had a goal, and I sort of cut this girl loose because I thought that without I couldn't do it with a girlfriend. I swear to God, I thought this. And, anyway, I went on without the girl and obviously didn't make it to the Olympics or anything like that. But I lost probably the best woman I could ever have in my life because of a crack hoe named boxing.
I mean, but that's the old school philosophy, right? Women and boxing don't mix, you know. So I can understand your coach kind of shooing.
No, it wasn't my coach. It was a couple old men in the gym. That's what I get for listening to old men. They were just mad because they weren't getting laid. Let's talk about Let's talk about Pitbull Cruz. Pitbull Cruz, of course, I thought he got outboxed pretty convincingly by Jose Valenzuela. Valenzuela 14-2 now, 9 KOs. Of course, Pitbull dropping to 26-3-1, 18 KOs. Pitbull's most notable win, of course, notable fight was the loss to Gervonta Davis and going the distance. Of course, the scores were 116-112, 116-112 Valenzuela, and one judge had it 115-113 for Cruz. I didn't think Cruz won. I didn't think he did enough.
Yeah, I think he got going too late. There was a sense of there wasn't much desperateness. You know, I think Valenzuela boxed a heck of a game plan. He used his range, used his height, his foot speed. I thought that Pitbull came on late, but it was just.
Hear me out. What compels somebody to not come on in a fight? This is what I don't get. Is there something? Am I different from anybody else, or what?
That's a question that has been asked a million times. Like, how does a guy not get up You know, it's like, especially someone who's still in his prime. If you tell me an older fighter, okay, can't pull the trigger, his legs, you know, starting to go. But yeah, there's no excuse. Pitbull Cruz, you know, is a solid fighter. He's not a star, and I think you saw why. You know, he's limited. He's going to do great if you're right in front of him. You know, if you give him the chance to let his hands go, you know, he's going to put you away. But Valenzuela, you got to give him props, man. That's two good wins. You know,
here's what's up. He speaks both Spanish and English, and he speaks English very well, very, very, very well. And he's 14-2, 9 KOs. I think this is a young kid that could talk to Generation Z.
Well, I mean, I'm glad that he's a perfect example of someone catching L's early in their career and you don't discard them. You know, he comes from Washington, which is not necessarily the boxing hotbed. You know, I think of fighters from Washington, I think of Greg Haugen, and that's about it. You know, not much else. So
Ray Lampkin,
wow, yes, the one that Duran almost killed.
hey, you know what? Hey, his
he's a good fighter.
He had a manager named Motormouth Morton. Okay, Ray Lampkin did, and Motormouth died about 10 or 15 years ago. But he was the best. He was one of the greatest guys you ever come in contact with in your life, man. He was always positive, and he was always talking. That's why the Motormouth tag stuck.
That's a great nickname.
And it was on his business card, Mike Motormouth Morton. Let's roll to an early break. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Check it. You're inside looking at the world of boxing and MMA. Of course, we'll talk about. Tonight, Virgil Ortiz doing his thing, of course, with a good fighter, Sergey Bolachek. Bolachek coming in, of course, with a once-beaten record, 24-1, 23 KOs. Lost to a guy named Brandon Adams. Who? We'll talk about that and more with Boxing's PhD after the break. You're tuned to Ring Talk live on Sports Byline. Ain't true, the sort of place they really
care about you. Attention, fellow conservative investors. What does the name Reagan mean to you? It stands for being the ultimate conservative. It also stands for the Reagan Gold Group. Do you see storm clouds approaching? The stock market hates uncertainty, and there are plenty of reasons to be concerned. High inflation, unstable debt, and economic uncertainty are just a few. You have car insurance, homeowners insurance, and life insurance. But do you have insurance for your retirement savings and your 401k? We urge all fellow conservative investors to learn about the one asset that could help ensure your nest egg doesn't crack under economic pressure. G-O-L-D, gold. Call the one name any conservative investor needs to know about. Reagan Gold Group.
800-360-1917. 800-360-1917. 800-360-1917. That's 800-360-1917.
Has someone in your family lost a job recently, and now you can't afford your mortgage payment? Or do you have a rental property and your tenants aren't paying you? Quick Cash Offer can come to the rescue and pay you cash for your home immediately. Yes, sell your home and get cash all over the phone without dealing with real estate agents and risking your safety by showing your home to lukewarm buyers. You don't need to lose your home to foreclosure. If you have any equity in your home, we will buy it and give you cash within days, all in a simple over-the-phone and virtual process. Call Quick Cash Offer now before the economy gets worse. Sell a home you can't afford or just don't want to get the cash you need today.
800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. 800-788-1495. That's 800-788-1495.
This report is sponsored by After School Alliance. A million people are rallying for after school as part of the 24th annual Lights On After School, organized by the After School Alliance. The event shines a light on the many ways after school programs engage children and youth by making learning fun and providing educational and enriching activities. After school programs are especially important as students recover from the pandemic, but funding shortfalls have left nearly 25 million kids without the after school programs their parents want for them. Quality after school programs keep kids safe, inspire them to learn, and give parents peace of mind. Alliance Executive Director, Jody Grant.
Every day, after-school programs across our country help students discover their talents, build their confidence, and foster their creativity through enrichment and academic supports. As we continue to recover from the pandemic, it's essential that many more students and families have access to these programs. This year, 8,000 Lights On after-school events will focus on the benefits after-school programs provide.
Visit www.afterschoolalliance.org to learn more about Lights On After School.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Here in Las Vegas with Bernard Hopkins. Bernard, just first off, if Virgil wins this fight, we saw Crawford fight at 154. How do you match up Virgil against the Crawford we saw last weekend?
Well, it'd be a great matchup, but don't get fooled by what Crawford displayed last week and a half. But Crawford, to me, I believe, won the fight. I believe the fight could have won a draw. So you can't look at that fight and say that he's there for pickings, that his time is running out. We get up for certain fights at that level. And sometimes it can be not as good as the one that you got up for, which was Errol Spence. So I'm not fooled by what people might be saying about Crawford, whether it's time, whether it's not. Nah. I say he gets up for fights that he needs to get up for. And he at that age where it takes something super exciting to get excited about. I would like to see Virgil, based on Saturday, this Saturday, how he looks, how he executes, and how he wins. The IQ of it, going up against a Crawford, anybody with that Crawford mentality of the sweet science of boxing. This Saturday would tell me a lot, win, lose, or draw. Obviously win. That it gives me a blueprint to see, yeah, he won, but will he win this way with Crawford? That's key. So I'm not using this Saturday fight for a test, for a step for greatness. I'm using it to see if he's ready to fight Crawford or anybody else near Crawford.
Is he ready to fight Crawford? We'll see. Of course, that was Bernard Hopkins, B-Hop, call him what you want, the world middleweight champion. Of course, the man that came from Philadelphia, went to prison, spent some time in the joint, converted the Nation of Islam, never incorporated that into his name, per se. But, he is a strict guy. I mean, he doesn't drink, he doesn't smoke. Talk about Bernard. Oh, and he doesn't tip. Sock, did I tell you about the story about me and Bernard at the Riviera Hotel when he wouldn't tip the waitress?
No, brother. Tell me.
So check this out. So Bernard's going to fight Antoine Eccles. And I think we're at the Riviera Hotel. Pretty sure we're at the Riv because I had a suite there. So we're at the Riv, and we're in the buffet. Now, usually I don't hang out in the buffet, but he wants to go to the buffet, okay? So I take him to the buffet, and I tell the waitress, you know, this is the world middleweight champion. He's defending the title. Anything he wants, I need you to get him. So he's saying, you know, I need my watermelon slice this way. I need this, that, blah, blah, blah. So he's doing all these different orders, makes all these special orders. The lady makes about 15 or 20 trips, so it's over with. And I said to her, well, we got a tipper, Bernard. He goes, no, I ain't tipping. I said, say what? He goes, I ain't tipping. He goes, I don't tip, Pedro. I said, well, what do you mean you don't tip? I said, that woman worked her ass off for us. She must have came back 10, 15 times. He goes, so what? She gets a salary? I said, no, Bernard. She gets a salary like $2 an hour, and then it's all the rest of her money is based on tips. Look, Pedro, I'm not tipping her. So I tipped her $25, and I've been dogging Bernard for the rest of his life on that one.
As you should.
That was unbelievably cheap. But how you know? Let's talk about Virgil Ortiz, though. Straight up, I thought he was a star at 147. I thought he was going to be the guy maybe to beat Errol Spence. Of course, Crawford ended up doing that. Maybe he could beat Crawford. I thought he was like a Mexican-American superstar at 147. Had the weight woes, the issues making the welterweight limit affected his health. Now he's at 154. He seems to be on a better track. He's like a 2-1 favorite here. Should he be favored by more, or are we overlooking Borachek?
I think that's about right. I mean, people bet name recognition, and between the two, Virgil Ortiz is more in the star pantheon. I think Virgil Ortiz and Borachek is a really intriguing fight. They know each other. They sparred many times. I've seen Borachek in interviews be very confident. He feels he could hurt Virgil Ortiz. Yesterday, I was nervous if Virgil Ortiz was going to make the weight. you know, because he's had that history. Even at 54, he didn't make his last weight. So I'm glad he made the weight. They both came in at 53.8. I thought that hearing the clip from Bernard Hopkins was very honest. You don't necessarily use this fight to gauge to see, you know, hey, if he beats Bojacek, then this is how he's going to do against Crawford. No, because they're two different styles. You know, I think Bojacek is going to be an aggressive fighter. There's no mystery involved. He feels he can hurt him. And I think that plays right into Virgil Ortiz's hands. You can spar a lot of rounds with people, but there's two big factors, you know, smaller gloves, no headgear, and more importantly, I'm sorry, three factors. It's going to be a live crowd, big lights. So I don't necessarily think it's going to transition the same way. Bojacek has been stopped before, and Virgil Ortiz could punch. That's one thing we know about him. But he's also been dropped. So this is a really, really, really good fight. And I'm looking forward to it.
Okay, that's going to be on the zone. Of course, ESPN's got a card as well. Venato Lopez taking on Angelo Leo for the IBF 126-pound belt. last night, Angel Ayala was also on ESPN+, Plus, won the IBF featherweight flyweight title, 112-pound title, with a win over Dave Apoliano. Bottom line is you are tuned to Ring Talk Live, where you're inside looking at the world of boxing and MMA. Now, Tommy D's taking tomorrow off. I understand he's trying to sweat down because Sergio Durancheco might not make the weight against Kristen Mobili, and Tommy D don't think too much of him. So Tommy D's almost – is that what's going on? Is that why Tommy D's in Atlanta losing weight, trying to get ready for this fight?
I caught me off guard. I thought he was over there for other purposes.
Some type of convention?
You know, Tom is a star, if you didn't know.
Listen, we play with Tommy D. Tommy D, of course, Sir Thomas Dillamuth, as the Sunday shot caller. No doubt about that. We call our shots with him, and we play with him. But the bottom line is he's a super parent, a super dad, and he's got a daughter that's extremely gifted, and she's off to go to college in, like, next week. And she's only 17 years old. She won a scholarship. She's got basically a college degree already. Holy cow, that kid, the sky's the limit academically.
Yeah, she's a smart cookie. Very proud of her. She's very few kids at her age already have an associate's degree. So, like you said, the sky's the limit for her. All the best to Tamara Dellamore.
Okay. I was making a bit of a comparison with Michael Grant and Jared Anderson. When Michael Grant came along, Michael Grant was like 6'5", 6'6". He was a heavyweight. And I said to myself, this is the big black guy that can beat everybody. Because I watched him in the gym, and he was killing people in the gym. It was frightening what he was doing to guys in the gym. I was, don't hit guys that hard, man. You don't need to be going that hard, okay? And then when it came to the real deal, he couldn't fight that much. Of course, he ended up at 48-7. But the bottom line was, that was a bit of a disappointment. I think Jared Anderson is the Michael Grant of today.
Well, it looks like he might be spot on with that. Do you think that Michael Grant was rushed in that Lance Lewis fight?
I don't know if here's what's up. I don't know if he was rushed or not, because it turns out that he couldn't fight all that well. So what do you do? Do you wait and gamble on maybe some bum knocking him out or some guy making him look bad so you can't get the Lennox Lewis fight?
Yeah. I mean, an opportunity knocks, and at the time, I'm sure he got paid very handsomely by HBO. I guess you got to take that fight. And there was an experience. I mean, Lennox, I think the first shot he really hurt him with, I remember him cuffing Grant by the back of the head and lighting him up with an uppercut, and that changed his whole life. You know, that's where experience comes in.
Yeah.
You know, and Mike Grant was not ready for that. You know, tonight.
Mm-hmm. Go on.
I'm sorry. I was just going to say that tonight, on the undercard of that Virgil Ortiz Bojacek, there's a guy named Conwell. Keep your eye on him. That's a bad dude. He had some managerial issues. He's out of Ohio. He is a scary 154.
Okay, Nono Inouye is going to go against some TJ Dahoney guy. That's going to go for the 122-pound title. Dahoney, I think, has a belt or is considered a decent challenger. Can he really fight?
I would be lying if I said I knew it. I don't. I just heard about him not so long ago. Look, the thing is, Inouye, is he going to be getting up for him? You know, like Bernard has said, sometimes
He's a special guy. He's going to get up for anybody. You don't have to give that kid Viagra.
Yeah, well, especially fighting at home, right? You know, for the 50,000.
Yeah, I mean, when he's like, he's listening, he's like God. All right, let's switch gears. Rudy Hernandez, the brother of Gennaro Hernandez and the manager, of Nakatani, said he's okay with Canelo calling his own shots for the last five fights and this and that. And then I said to him, well, you know, think about that. When you're the number one contender, you're the number one contender. Then he said, well, you know, my brother got the shaft, blah, blah. He didn't get too many big fights against guys. Well, A, Gennaro was a good fighter. A, B, Gennaro was a champion. C, Gennaro wasn't much of a draw. C, Gennaro wasn't all that much of a puncher. And when he went in against De La Hoya, his brother, Rudy, put him in the fight with a broken nose. Shane Mosley broke his nose 2 weeks before the fight. So as far as Rudy mouthing off about Canelo being able to do his own thing, I got a problem with that.
And so does anyone else with, you know, the common sense. I mean, there's calling a shot, and then there's, like, abusing, you know. And I think that Canelo's on the point that he's abusing. You know, yes, we know he's a star. He's got a legacy. But if he doesn't fight David Benavidez, he'll always have that cloud over his head.
But he's willing. But don't you get it? I think he's one of those guys that's willing to go there. He's willing to accept that. He's willing to say, oh, he isn't in my league. He says stupid stuff, and here's what's up. He believes his own BS.
That is true. Listen, like I said, until he's called out in his native home, you know, if he's called a coward by other legends like Chavez and Marquez, they start questioning him. You know, how great are you when you avoided the best fight possible? I think that's when it's going to hit home. Canelo knows that he's a star, and he doesn't need the Benavidez fight, you know, at least financially, because he's going to make the same money fighting a guy like Edgar Berlanga, who absolutely no one thinks has a chance. And, you know, it sucks. It sucks for fight fans, and I think at the end of the day, it's going to suck for him.
Boxing's PhD, Socrates Palmer, Saturdays on Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
But that's all right with me, because I dig the vibe, and I like the company. It's a wonderful way. That's what the people say.
How would you like to go on a five-star vacation for just $99? We're talking about the quality of a Westgate Resort for $99. Not for one night, but for three fantastic nights at one of their luxurious destinations across the United States. And you'll even get a free $100 Visa gift card just for making a reservation. We've got some of the choicest destinations that you'll love in the United States that you can choose from for just $99 for a three-night stay. Take your family. Take a special loved one, but get away. Go on vacation with Westgate Resorts. Call now to make a reservation for just $99, and you get a free $100 Visa gift card. Call Westgate right now and book your vacation. Here's the number.
800-292-6156. 800-292-6156. 800-292-6156. That's 800-292-6156.
What would you do if you had a broken bone? You'd go to the doctor and use your insurance, right? Well, what would you do if you have a serious problem with drugs and alcohol? Most people do nothing until it's way too late. Your insurance can help you get clean and sober with the assistance of a place like the Detox and Treatment Helpline. Many times, addiction treatment is fully covered, so why not use your insurance to treat your addiction problem just like you would if you had a broken bone? And with the Family Medical Leave Act, you're allowed to take time off by law, and your employer doesn't need to know the reason. So there are two good reasons. You've got insurance you can use for your addiction problem, and with the Family Medical Leave Act, it's completely confidential. Call now, 800-771-4125. That's 800-771-4125. 800-771-4125. 800-771-4125. 4125.
Do you need to sell your home? If you've sold a home before, you remember how stressful and expensive it was. Sold.com is here to help you sell your home for the most money and with the least amount of stress. There are new ways to sell your home that you've never heard of before. Did you know there are companies who will offer you cash for your home? Did you know you could trade in your home for a new one? Did you know there are realtors who will sell your home for a flat fee instead of an expensive commission? It's true. Sold.com services are free. So if you're looking to sell, make this free phone call right now and learn how your next home sale can be faster and easier than you ever thought possible. Pick up your cell phone and call right now. 800-251-7816. 800-251-7816. 800-251-7816. That's 800-251-7816.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
I thought I would knock him on the early rounds, but like I said, he brings excellent condition and he's determined.
Why didn't you go after him to try to knock him out when you knocked him down early in the third round?
I said, why get callous if I've been training for 2 months?
Here's the knockdown. Describe it to us as you see it.
Well, like I told Jimmy, the 1-2 with you, I'm gonna get him all the time. But I wasn't gonna get overexcited and play myself cheap. I said, I'll knock him out early if it happens. If not, if it's necessary, I'll go 12 rounds, and I did.
Did you go to school, so to speak, on what happened to Rosario when he knocked him down and then got knocked out himself?
No, because I knocked down a lot of fighters that still took my time. I'm just getting seasoned through every fight, and I'm pound for pound, I'm the best fighter pound for pound in the world. Bring him on. Bring him on. Mancini, I don't respect your opinion. Come on, baby. So I can knock you out.
Well, who are some of the
fighters? Bernard Willeka, you could get some, baby. You could get some, too. Brian Boo, Jimmy Paul, Sammy Holmes, all your come on with it, baby. Yeah, buddy. Let's hear from you, Larry.
What about Aaron Pryor?
Aaron Pryor, come on with it, baby. I got faith in you. You bounce back. I know you. Come on, baby. Come on with it. It's macho time.
Macho time. August 10th, 1984. I was there. Of course, he beat Jose Luis Ramirez. A bit of a shutout. No doubt about that. I mean, it was all about Camacho. I don't think that Ramirez won a round. Of course, Ramirez, the former lightweight champion, campaigning out of San Jose, California. I remember I was standing in line to spar him one time, and I'm glad that I didn't get to spar him because he was really warmed up. I mean, when you get to these guys, especially these Mexican champions, if you want to spar with them right away. The first two rounds, like when I did Bazooka Limon, you go the first two rounds, get these guys when they're slow and they're not warmed up yet, because once they warm up, they're going to be kicking the snot at you. I'm telling you, Jose Luis Ramirez would have been hitting me with those right hooks. I was a sucker for a right hook, no doubt about that. But Jose Luis Ramirez, an underrated champion at 135 pounds, but you know, Camacho beat the snot out of him, no doubt about that. You are tuning to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look into the world of boxing. On this day, in 1967, Riddick, Big Daddy Bo was born. Of course, Big Daddy Bo, the former world heavyweight champion, probably the greatest waste of talent in the heavyweight division in a long time as far as heavyweight champions were concerned. Here was a guy that, I mean, he knocked out Rodolfo Marin of Puerto Rico, was a French contender, but the way he knocked him out, he broke his jaw in the process. I mean, I said to myself, this is the best heavyweight prospect I've seen come along in 15 or 20 years at that point in time. And, of course, he had the great Eddie Futch, whose birthday, I believe, was yesterday. May he rest in peace. But he had the great Eddie Futch in his corner. Of course, Futch stayed with him until he was no longer disciplined. But, I mean, the fact that he built a kitchen in his. Check this out. I had him on the phone. He was in Lake Tahoe. I think it's Caesar's Palace up there in Lake Tahoe. And he was training for a fight. It was in mid-Vegas. And he was telling me how he built a kitchen in his bedroom. I said, what? Say what? He goes, yeah, I built a kitchen in my bedroom. No sense in having to go downstairs to eat. That's what he said. No sense of having to go downstairs to eat. So that's Riddick Big Daddy Bo, born on this day, August 10th, 1987. More power to him. I mean, as far as heavyweight champ was concerned, he had the great fights with Holyfield, but I think he would have beaten Holyfield handily had he been in shape. 43-1, that's his official record. Of course, that's a bit of a stretch because of the fact that, of course, he lost twice to Andrew Galata. Galata, of course, the Polish Nightmare came into the first fight 28-0, and then he just sort of like gave it up, got disqualified in the seventh round. I thought that was the Ukrainian mob. I thought the Russian mob was working that day, no doubt about that, working overtime, that they got Andrew Galata to freak out in a fight that he was way ahead on, and then he sort of like disqualified. Wait, and then they do it again. They do it again, right? And December of the first one was in July of 96. They go again in December of 96, December 14th to be exact, in the convention center in Atlantic City, Nevada. And Galata gets disqualified again, this time in the ninth round. But I thought he was ahead. And some people said he wasn't ahead. But the bottom line is he was – I thought it was a mob. I thought both those fights, the mob was involved. So actually, Riddick Bowe should be like, you know, he should have lost those two fights. Plus, the last time I saw Riddick Bowe in person – I was doing the ring announcing in Fire Lake, Casino in Shawnee, Oklahoma. The referee was Gary Ritter. I'll never forget that one. Anyway, he fought Marcus Rhodey. Marcus Rhodey came in at 29-25. Obviously, he left at 29-26. He got TKO'd in the second round. But that's when Riddick Bowe told me, as a ring announcer, he walked over to me, big fat-ass Riddick Bowe. Daniel, big fat-ass Riddick Bowe, like almost 300 pounds, right? Tells me, tell him I weigh 261. Say what? He didn't show. He didn't even show up to the weigh-in. We had the weigh-in the day before. He didn't show up to the weigh-in. So he was like 300 pounds. So tell him I'm 261. So I didn't even announce his weight that night. First time I think I've ever introduced a heavyweight champion. Didn't get to introduce his weight because the bottom line is he was a bit of an embarrassment. But that was Big Daddy Riddick Bowe, born on this day in 1967. Speaking of boxing history, 1981, Roberto Duran, of course, comes back with a 10-round decision over Nino Gonzalez. Of course, that was at 154, I believe. That was Duran's first fight since the No Mas incident of November 25th, 1980. Of course, in the eighth round, when he quit against Ray Leonard. Of course, I was working at Parisian Bakery prior to the police department here in San Francisco, and I was working the conveyor belt, and they had these loaves of French bread. Now, all you people that eat Parisian French bread all around the country, right? It's like it's a big tourist attraction. They send it to you in bags, all that kind of good stuff. Well, here's what's up. When Duran quit like a dog like that, or was barking and quit against Ray Leonard because he didn't want to get knocked out. That's what he told me. Anyway, I freaked out. So I was putting loaves of bread in the bags, right? I fell asleep standing up. Anyway, like about 90 loaves of bread fell on the floor, right? And what happened to those loaves of bread? They got bagged up and sold, so you might have bought one of those loaves. That's what I was trying to say. So Parisian Bakery, remember that, November 25th, 1980, decided I would work a job that night instead of watching the fight on closed-circuit television. Of course, Duran coming in with weight woes, and Ray knew he had weight woes. In fact, Roberto told me that he thought that he would lose to Ray, lose on points, and they would come back and do it again in a third fight. Of course, the third fight took like 8 years later. They did it in the cold December 7, 1989, I believe, outdoors at the Mirage Hotel in Las Vegas, Nevada. And get this, it was the opening of the Mirage, which just closed last week officially, okay? But it was the opening of the Mirage, and it was 37 degrees that night in the ring. 37 degrees. They held an outdoor card in Las Vegas, and it was 37 degrees. We were freezing our asses off. Duran was freezing his ass off. Okay, Duran, you know, Ray was just out there having a good time, boxing his way around the ring. Of course, he won a 12-round easy decision of Roberto Duran that night. Of course, Roberto Duran and Leonard, the first fight, June 20th, 1980, the brawl in Montreal, probably one of the greatest fights of all time. In my mind, the greatest welterweight contest of all time. Now, Gabriel Fandora is on action tonight. Who is she? She's the sister of Sebastian Fedora. Fedora, of course, the WBC 154-pound champion, 21-1, lost that one fight to knockout to Miss Brian Mendoza, I believe. He's got 13 whacks. Of course, he stopped Tim Zhu. Stopped him in his tracks, didn't stop him per se, won a 12-round decision, 24-1 now, Zhu, 17 KOs. That, of course, was March 30th of this year. What were they thinking? What were they thinking at Zhu Corner? Remember, they didn't stop the fight. The guy was cut in the middle of his head with blood all over the place. We had the cut man, Jacob Stitch Duran, on this show, and he said, listen, you can't stop that cut because it was a bad artery that was cut, so there's no way that cut could be stopped. You should have went to the referee and or the ringside doctor and or the referee and said, we're not fighting no more. He was cut on an accident. I mean, he got elbowed or whatever in the second round. After the fourth round, he should have stopped that fight. But the Zhu Corner, they are not major league guys. If they were major league guys, they would have stopped that fight because now the guy's got a big number one on his record, 24-1. He's no longer undefeated. He's no longer the champion as well. Of course, the 154-pound son of former champion Koshchizu. Of course, Koshchizu, not in his son's corner per se. In fact, he's living back in Russia. Koshchizu is living back in Russia, and his son is doing his thing down there out of Australia. So we wish Tim Zhu the very best luck. Speaking of best of luck, tell me, do you think it's going to be all about luck tonight with Virgil Ortiz? Because some people are telling me, they're shooting me texts here saying that I'm putting too much stock in Ortiz. Ortiz, a volume puncher, this and that. But this guy, sir, he can fight. Of course, sir, he lost to Brandon Rommel, Brandon Adams. Who the hell is Brandon Adams? Of course, that was in 2021. But he lost to Brandon Adams, 24-3 now, 16 KOs. Is Brandon Adams not that great of a fighter? But he hasn't been beat since, I believe. Anyway, straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking to the world of boxing and MMA. Going back here, of course, the Camacho thing I just covered. Frank sent me that. Frank 1961 via the Twitch TV broadcast. Of course, he's talking about Camacho winning that 12-round decision over Jose Luis Ramirez. Was that Camacho's peak? I mean, from that point forward, I think Camacho got too much in the blow. I think that cocaine was like This is his main thing. Listen, the guy snorted more cocaine than I smoke weed, and I smoke a share of weed. So what I'm trying to tell you is that, good Lord. I mean, a couple of times, I remember there was one fight in particular. In fact, we've got a tape here somewhere. I'll run it maybe next week if we want to. But Camacho was the day before a big fight, and Camacho was in his hotel room threatening to commit suicide. In fact, the CBS television people, Tim Ryan and Gil Clancy, I believe they were in charge of that broadcast, and they were freaking out thinking that Camacho would not be able to fight the next day. Well, guess what? The next day, Hector was fine. No doubt about that. Talk about a head case, yeah, the ultimate. But it was all about cocaine with him. When he wasn't on coke, there were two different guys to Hector Camacho. I told you one time he called my ex-wife. My ex-wife hung up the phone on me. I was talking to my daughter from Atlantic City one time. And he heard me say, ah, that bitch, blah, 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 and I hung up the phone. Anyway, so he goes, what's going on? I go, my wife hung up the phone on me. My ex-wife hung up the phone when I was talking to my daughter. So he goes, let me call her. So Hector Camacho calls her on the phone, makes a clown out of her. She goes, hey, who's this? She goes, Hector. Hector who? And she like had her most despicable voice on, right? Hector Camacho, baby, blah, blah. So he melted her on the phone. The bottom line is that's the ex-wife. That was her claim to fame. But, yeah, Camacho would do anything for you when he wasn't on cocaine. When he was on cocaine, things just got crazy, no doubt about that. Now, let's talk about last week's fight with Jared Anderson. Was I too rough on the guy? No. He needs a support dog. I get that. 17-1 now, 15 kills. Time for him to retire. Down in the first round once, down twice in round five. Just quit like a dog. Had that blank look on his face, void of any emotion. He had that I don't give a spit look. You know, I'm talking about spit with an H. And Francis Ngannou, remember him? The guy that, of course, that beat Tyson Fury, didn't get the call in that boxing match. Of course, he former UFC heavyweight champion. Decided he would walk away from the UFC, and Dana White tell him the middle finger is yours, and he walks away from those $500,000 purses. Now he's with somebody called the Professional Fight Leagues or the Fighters League. That's going to go down. He's going to do in the fight with them in October. But of course, he had the two fights in boxing. He beat Tyson Fury in a non-title fight, a 10-round fight. They called it an exhibition. I don't know what they were calling it, but the bottom line is he beat Tyson Fury. There was no doubt about it. He even knocked Tyson Fury down. He licked Tyson Fury like a stamp. But the boxing establishment, they couldn't allow Francis Ngannou to win. They couldn't allow some MMA guy in his first fight to knock down the world heavyweight champion, the flag bearer for the boxing world. No way. They couldn't do that. So the judges conveniently found a way to let Tyson Fury win that fight. Okay. Now, after that, of course, he gets in the ring with Anthony Joshua and he gets knocked out in two rounds. But guess what? Two fights, 0-2. Oh, what a horrible boxing career. Not really. He made $50 million, $30 million on one fight, $20 million on another. Guess how much he made in the UFC? $500,000. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Dana White is like, listen, when I was on the streets of San Francisco, I was a policeman. I would come in contact with pimps, and I keep repeating the story because it's relevant, okay? Is that when I came in contact with pimps, you know, the pimps were giving their girls money. I mean, that's how you kept your girls around. You gave them a share of the money, all right? Now, I couldn't imagine the pimp taking $190 out of $100 from a hooker. I mean, that probably ain't going to fly good because she'll be in, like, the first cab to Denver, no doubt about that, or the first Greyhound to Bakersfield, something like that. Anyway, the bottom line is that's not the way it was done in the world of street sex, okay? But in the world of the UFC, that's just the way it's done. Dana can do whatever he wants. I mean, he is like God, the executioner. He's everybody. I mean, he's unbelievable. I mean, his power is unwieldy. I just can't believe it. The bottom line is, at the end of the day, the UFC is making a lot of money. They're making inroads. I think they're going to go on the same night that Canelo's going to go against Berlanga in Las Vegas. I think Dana White's a little upset about that. But more power to Dana in the fact that he can't promote fights. I mean, he's a good promoter. There's no doubt about that. But he's a piece of spit when it comes to dealing with talent. He's not my favorite guy, no doubt about that. And if you paid people, especially for the damage and what they're taking, I think I could like them a little bit better. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
Do you want to add a boost to your sex life this weekend? Do you want to make your partner and yourself happy? Then call our special hotline now. We'll sell you those little pills that work below the belt for less than $1 a pill and deliver your package in a few days, just in time for the weekend. Our pill delivers almost the same results as expensive pills for less than a dollar a piece, and you don't need a prescription. And ask about their buy three, get three free offer. What are you waiting for? Boost your sex life and have a great time now. Less than a dollar a pill, discreet delivery in a few days, and a buy three, get three free offer? Dial this number and save it now.
800-229-8627. 800-229-8627. 800-229-8627. That's 800-229-8627. Paid for by the pharmacy shop.
Everyone watches more than 5 hours of television. Really? And that's not counting mobile viewing. Get Dish TV and make that time worth it. With Dish, you can get hundreds of channels, access to all kinds of sports, tons of movies, premium channels, and more. Another thing that's really cool with Dish is you can watch most of your favorite shows on your mobile device anywhere for a lot less than cable. Yes, that's right. We are asking you to watch more TV and not less TV, but make it better television with Dish this time, anytime, anywhere. So call right now and learn how easy it is to save on your television bill and get the most out of your TV viewing experience. Dial that number and I promise you we're here waiting for your call because we want to save you money and give you better television. We are Dish TV.
800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. 800-293-0328. That's 800-293-0328.
Life insurance is one of those things that just about everybody needs, but few people actually have. Hey, if you die unexpectedly without life insurance, guess what? You'll leave your family with even a bigger mess. Life insurance will help replace your family's income. It'll help cover burial expenses. Life insurance can even help pay off debt like credit cards and medical bills. Life insurance can even pay for college. And if you own a business and you die, life insurance can help your business from collapsing. It can even help cover estate taxes. Life insurance has never been more affordable and needed. Plus, you can always shop around even if you have a plan and save some money. So call the Life Insurance Quote Line right now for free pricing information.
800-915-9654. 800-915-9654. 800-915-9654. That's 800-915-9654.
Now more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
The Saudi Arabian promotion last week in L.A., of course, that was a good card, no doubt about that. Some of the results that you didn't get to see, though, I was a bit surprised about this. 305-pound heavyweight, Jarrell Big Baby Miller, now 26-1, 22 KOs, former PED guy, of course. He and Andy Ruiz, of course, the heavyweight champion at one point in time. I was going to make fun of him, but I won't. 35-2 now, a draw, 22 KOs. They battled to a 12-round draw. I thought that Miller won going away, 8-4, but it was 116-112. One judge had it, well, just like me, 116-112. The other judges had it 114-114, and that was a bit of a ripoff. I thought Andy Ruiz thought the big fat guy, they called him Auntie Louise, I thought he lost. In a clash with the WBA regular light heavyweight title, unbeaten former 168-pound title holder of the World Boxing Association, David Morrell of Cuba, formerly of Cuba, 11-09 KOs, defeated Hot Rod Kalzadik, 29-3 with 21 KOs by 12-round unanimous nod score. To 117-111, time two, and then 118-110 for the WBA, former WBA super middleweight champion. Of course, he and David Benavidez is probably a fight that's going to be in the future at some point in time, but David Benavidez and Canelo Alvarez is really the fight of all time. I mean, right now, it's the biggest fight, and of course, Paulie Malignaggi said it time and time again, and I could repeat that 1,000 times. He said, this is the biggest duck job in the history of boxing. In the history of boxing, this is the biggest duck job, and I do believe it is. Of course, Canelo Alvarez, a coward in my mind. I can go on and on, but the bottom line is I think he has the intestinal fortitude of a hamster. He's got nuts the size of a hamster, and that's just the way it is. I mean, listen, you know, he beat on his chest when he could pick his shots and beat up guys like Daniel and Triple G and Charlo and me and this guys like that. You know, when you pick your guys, you can beat your guys. That's not the way boxing is. You think Muhammad Ali could choose his last five opponents? Could he? No. Mike Tyson chooses the last five opponents? No. As heavyweight champion? No. You can't do it. But yet he's able to pull it off, and I think that's a bit of a ripoff, and he's ripping off boxing fans, ripping off history, and at the end of the day, he's probably ripping off Canelo as well, because I really like to see what Canelo could do against David Benavidez. I mean, I think that Benavidez would beat him, but I wouldn't be surprised if Canelo pulled off an upset. I mean, Canelo's a pretty good fighter, 154, started off at 147, I believe. Take that back, he weighed 146.5, I believe, in his first pro fight. And from that point forward, he captured titles at 154, 160, 168, and for a minute, I think he had a WBO title at 175. But at the end of the day, Canelo Alvarez has to fight the best in front of him, and he's not doing it. Edgar Edgar Berlanga. Of course, that's going to go down in September. Nobody wants to see that fight. Probably not even the Puerto Ricans. You are tuned to Ring Talk, live worldwide, a production of the Sports Byline Broadcast Network. Camacho's Cocaine Edition didn't change his style. The Rosario fight changed his style, Frank. You are tuned to Ring Talk, live worldwide, until Sunday, 11 a.m. Pacific time. This is Pedro Fernandez coming to you from the Sports Byline Studios.